Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, Recovery Wednesday, February the 22nd, 2017. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you, dear heart. Mucho, mucho gracias. Appreciation. Appreciation for who you are and all that you bring to this awesome body of work into my life. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I got a text from Susan this morning saying that Jill had a question for us. And she explained a little bit about the question, and Jill's number is a 910 number, I think. And Jill, if you're there, maybe push 1. And let's open the show with that conversation. It sounds like a great topic. Is Jill with us?
I do not see a hand up, and I do not see a 9. Oh, there is a 901, but I'm not sure if it's her. Press 1.
If that's you, Jill, press 1, and then we'll know it's you, and we'll have a conversation. And it might actually be Susan, too. And we could say hello to Susan if she put her hand up, too. Nobody's putting their hand up, I take it. Okay.
Nope, they're not.
Cool. Well, then, let's look at one aspect of this work that sometimes brings up much frustration in people, much judgment, much negativity, much pain. And that is, let's look at the purpose of the world. When we put some form of hostility or fear within our structures, you know, if you hold a newborn child, you get that the child isn't about hostility and fear. You get that the child is the presence of love. Not that the child is loving anybody, but that the child is the presence of love. That's the truth about who each of us is. And then we come into the world, and the world tends to pour its hostilities and fears upon us. And, of course, if we have hostilities and fears in our genes, then those things are activated and tend to take over, and we tend to get lost in those energies. When you realize that everything is energy, when you start to see the whole world through the eyes of energy, then you realize that there's certain energies that belong in a cell, in a structure. You know, I don't care whether it's your house, there's certain energies that belong in your house. And if there's an energy there that doesn't belong, like if you fill your house with carbon monoxide, it's an energy that doesn't belong, it's going to become deadly. When we fill our structures with energies that don't belong, then our cellular structure starts to fall apart, and we fall into a state called disease. And then we think, or we've been trained to think, that something outside of us is supposed to fix us, as though something outside of us could possibly change something that's going on inside of us. And the primary skill that we're looking to share with people is to recognize that you are in charge of your energy system, and your work, should you choose to do it, is to clean out of the structure everything that does not belong. Now, life has this awesome little feature that's built into it. If you've been hiding what it is that you need to heal from yourself, because you are an energetic being, and every energy that is in you is continuously radiating an actual wave, an actual energetic wave, measurable, high energy wave. And then when you realize there's this thing called resonance. You know, if I take two baby grand pianos and I open the tops of them, and I go to one of the baby grands and I pound out a middle C, and I go over to the other baby grand. Now, there are hundreds of keys. I forget, 300-400 keys in a piano. Pardon me, not keys, strings. If I look carefully, there are going to be some strings moving in the second piano. And the strings that are moving in the second piano are the ones that were resonated into activity by my putting my energy. You know, I had food this morning. I laid out in the sun. I took all of that, put it into an energy. I raised my hands and my fingers, and I pounded out a middle C. That energy transferred through the keys to these little hammers to strings, and the strings started to vibrate. The strings set up a field. Now, you can stand and look at that those strings till the cows come home. You will not see that energy field. You'll hear it. You'll hear its impact. When your eardrum starts to vibrate, you know there's an energy there, but you won't see anything. It's invisible. When you go to the second piano and you see that the strings that are associated with the middle C are vibrating, then you got to know something in the first piano moved out and created an impact on the second piano. Now, if you went in and you cut all the middle C strings on the second piano, and I pounded out a middle C on the first, there would be no movement in the second piano because there's nothing there to resonate. I used to, oh, it goes back now, probably going on 35, 40 years ago, I used to speak fairly regularly, keynote at a conference called Global Science. And this is where people from different scientific disciplines came together to investigate what's really happening in this realm of invisible energy. Energy we know is there by the effects it creates, but we can't tap into it through our senses. It was an absolutely awesome gentleman there, named Marcel Vogel. Marcel was a 23-year senior scientist from IBM. Marcel invented the magnetic coding that allows your computer to store information, the hard drive on your computer. That's the kind of mind Marcel had. At 11, he invented and personally patented chemical light, kind of mind Marcel had. So Marcel has this camera that's called a Delaware camera. The Delaware camera, when you click the shutter, does not take take in light energy and store it on the photographic plate. In between the aperture and the photographic plate, there's a tuning mechanism. And so when you tune this camera, when you click the shutter, what comes in is a frequency other than light, and that's what's registered on the photographic plate. For instance, if you take a picture of, with this camera, the Delaware camera, of an acorn, what shows up on the photographic plate, if the camera's tuned properly, is an oak tree. Which many people say, oh, come on, John, that's ridiculous. How could that happen? Well, let's think about it from the eyes of energy for a moment. Has anybody ever here found an acorn, put it in the ground, watered it, gave it sunshine, nurtured it, and gotten corn? Not in a million years. Gotten cameras. Not in a billion years. Gotten an elephant or a tomato or a blade of grass. No. What always comes from the acorn? An oak tree. There's a structure, an energetic structure within the acorn that tells the acorn how to take molecules of water and nutrients and light and form an oak tree. And it can't form anything else. Obviously, if you had a device that could attune to the invisible in the acorn, and you could decode the invisible, you would decode an oak tree. That would be the obvious result. So Marcel's camera takes a picture of these energy waves and is able to tell what the invisible is. So the point of the story is Marcel presented that weekend his research and showed high energy waves leaving the mind of human beings when they would think a thought. You could actually take a picture of them. So if I hold in me an energy of hostility or fear, I'm going to set up an energy wave. That energy wave, like the middle C, is going to radiate out and it's going to seek. And maybe seeking isn't the correct word. It's just if it's there, it's going to exchange energy. The wave moving out from the movement of the strings on the piano, the strings that are tuned to the same atomic magnetic structure as the other piano, middle C, and those strings start to vibrate. So that resonance creates motion. Now, in the human realm, it goes to a different place. It not only creates motion, but it creates motion toward. So if you hold a particular energy, guess who's coming to dinner? It's going to be somebody who knows how to play that energy out with you. In other words, they're going to create a reflection. If what they play out with you resonates something that you don't want to own, then you'll probably talk about them as the problem in the circumstance or the situation, while you're the one that's feeling some form of turmoil or trauma. And in this work, we call that denial. When one thinks or speaks as though something outside of them is the cause of something inside of them, the next step, the result of that denial is the real cause of what one is experiencing. In order to believe that the cause is outside, the real cause has to be hidden. I have to hide it from myself. And we call that process of hiding the real cause dissociation. And so if we hold something that is of a dis-ease nature, that is a frequency in a cell that doesn't belong, that cell's going to radiate an influence. It's going to create, that influence is going to create motion toward you, and somebody's going to show up and play it out with you. Now, some people don't like that. They wish the world worked differently. They wish they could rage and hate and fear and all those sorts of things and not have to pay any penalty. Well, when you realize that this human system, holding a newborn child, is made of love, is designed for love, then any frequency other than that doesn't belong in the structure. In fact, in the ancient Aramaic, putting an energy into a human structure that didn't belong in it was called sin. It was an archery term. It meant off the mark. Putting an energy in that's off the mark creates dis-ease. And it seems as though life doesn't want you to be diseased. Life wants you to live as you were created to live, as this sweet, awesome presence of love. And if you're not, guess who's coming to dinner? They're going to play out what it is, just like the strings on the second piano start to vibrate in tune. That other person is going to vibrate in tune and is going to tend to be, unless they're very conscious, driven by what's moving in them. And it's going to tend to be the matching bag of garbage to the one that you're hiding from yourself. And so when someone shows up playing that out, it becomes your opportunity to breathe, to love truth enough to go, I've been through this particular energy 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe, just maybe, this is mine. Maybe this belongs to me, and I have the opportunity to change that part of my mind when I realize it. So life is here, I would offer, to show you how to maintain yourself as that active presence of love by sending you someone. You know, I tongue-in-cheek call it, the purpose of life is to kick us in the limitation, to show us what we're holding on to give us the opportunity to remove or to forgive them. Remember that forgive doesn't have anything to do with I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. Forgive is how I change what's happening inside of me to remove what never belonged. And so I'd offer that one of the ultimate purposes of life, first purpose, is to fulfill your every wish, every energy you engage in, to bring it about. If the energies you engage in, which are your wishes, even if you don't know it, if hate is something that came to you genetically and moves in you, then your wish is for hatred. Wishes don't have to do with intellectual processes. They have to do with energy patterns held within us. And so life is here to shortcut the healing process, to show us what we're holding on to, and give us the opportunity to move through it. It's a pretty awesome thing. And so we have worked for the last about 37 years or so now with the first century Aramaic teachings of Yeshua, and another 13 or so years before that, to decode, to understand the ancient teachings to where we can see how they apply, not in some kind of a religious way, that's a fabrication of men, but rather it's just, you know, if you think about the early people engaged in the teachings of Yeshua, they were engaging in how do we live our lives as human beings? How do we engage in this sacrament called life? And later, you know, generations and generations and generations of distortions and trapping were put on top of it to make it something about, you know, some sort of thing you do on Sunday morning that you don't do the rest of the week. We're here to offer that life is the opportunity to clean out of your structure everything that defiles you so that you truly live as that awesome presence of love 24/7, 365. And the exciting news is totally possible. If you have, in fact, it's the most natural thing in the world for us to do as human beings. However, if we run into circumstances and situations that bring other inclinations up in us, if we receive the fact that those other inclinations are coming up for healing, then life is filled with awesome opportunities. And so we're here to provide the decoded tools. You know, probably most people aren't going to sit around for 35, 6, 7 years full time and try to understand what Yeshua was talking about when he said, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. You know, we first had to discover what the word heart meant. We didn't know. We now know the word heart means unconscious. We had to understand what the word forgive meant because we were all brought up in a world that said, well, you know, if you're in pain or trauma or turmoil, of course it's somebody else's fault. You just forgive them. You just let them off the hook. The only reason you're in pain is because of what they did. We had to understand what forgiveness meant. We had to understand that if I'm in pain, it's because there's an energy in me that doesn't belong in me. And that forgiveness is the tool with which, if I understand it properly, I can go inside myself and remove my hostility, my fear, my rage, my guilt, my grief, my sadness, my anger. And I'd offer the purpose of life, if you hold any of those energies, is to show that to you. Now, what most people try to do when they're being shown something they don't want to look at is they rail against the person who's showing it to them and say, if you just change your behavior, then everything would be okay, you see. The problem is that you're not doing what I think you should do. So if you would just straighten out your act, hear the instructions, just follow this, then everything will be okay. And what that really means is, if I could control you, I wouldn't have to look at my disturbance, and then I'd think life was cool. But there's a problem with that thinking. And the problem is the things you avoid moving within yourself by controlling others are the energies that ultimately kill you. They're the stuff that death is made of. Energy fields can't die. Energy fields are absolutely eternal. You are an energy field. You will never die. Your body, because you hold energies perhaps that don't belong in you, may fall apart over time, but they won't fall apart because of time. They'll fall apart because of the frequency stored within them. the unforgiven frequencies of death. Now, you and I came into the world programmed with death. How do I know that? Everybody in your bloodline and mine that's over 120 years of age is dead. Everybody from every generation. We came in and death was coded in us. Life doesn't want you dead. Life wants you to live. So life is going to show you the first signal that life will, you can tell that life is showing you something that you hold that will create your death is when life shows up with whatever it is, you hold your breath. Restore the breath, move the energy, learn the skill of removing what never belonged, and eternal life is a gift that's yours. So we're here to carry on with life. In fact, if you dig out your calendar, we would invite you to mark New Year's Eve, December 31st, the year 4949, and mark Heartland, New Year's Eve party. Everybody who chooses to stay around, you're invited. And it's going to be a whopper of a bash. So we're delighted to have the opportunity to have this conversation with you 5 days a week, and we've been doing it now for just over 7 years, so you can jump into, or pardon me, no, I guess this is our seventh year, so we've been doing it just over 6 years. You can jump onto our website, www.whyagain.org. And if you'll see a microphone on the page, click the microphone, it'll take you to some archives. And I don't know, we calculated recently, Jeannie, how many shows, 15, 16, 1700? Hours of conversation.
I haven't calculated it lately.
Yeah, but it's somewhere in there. So really, at this point, it doesn't matter. If somebody wants to start to listen, it'll take a while for them to catch up with us. By the way, if you do happen to listen to a show that does not have a description link on the website, if you would, as you listen to it, just give us a brief, you know, what was that show about, so that if somebody else is looking for that topic, we can put it in and make it searchable. You know, Jeannie's doing an awesome job of doing descriptions and links and everything we talk about, man, it's all there. But it was a time period where we didn't have that. Magda, for quite a time, did that and shared those with us. So, but if you listen to a show that doesn't have descriptors in it, if you'd send it to us and let us know what the date of the show is, we'll attach it, and then it'll make it searchable for others. And so is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is not. However, Gail is, and this is Recovery Wednesday.
It is Recovery Wednesday. We are recovering. Recovering the state of being. Humans, I totally forgot it was Wednesday. You know, we're on the road. What, one day over the other? Who knows? Well, let's say hello to Gail and see how the young lady's doing. How was your trip to Chicago?
It went very smooth.
Well, nice. Good. I saw the picture posted on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Of your daughters. That was cool.
That wasn't one of the best pictures. I was hoping to take a better one, but it sufficed. And Kelsey is putting pictures all over Facebook about where she's staying. She's staying south of London. I can't remember the town, but it is a seaside town that she's staying in.
Oh, nice.
She's doing her training, and she's taking a lot of pictures, them all over
Very
Facebook
cool.
as well.
Ha-ha.
So, yeah, her flight was 8 weeks.
8 weeks. That's awesome.
Yeah, and we're hoping to join her as soon as she's done. This is a foreign exchange student program through the college.
Right.
She was getting her teacher's certificate, teacher's training certificate to be an elementary school teacher. She did teacher's training in a fifth grade class for 8 weeks in Normal, Illinois. And then now she's doing the other 8 weeks in England.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Recovery Wednesday. Anything on your mind today about recovering the truth of who we are as human beings and how life gives us those awesome opportunities to learn forgiveness?
Absolutely. I wanted to finish the conversation that Ron and I were having last Wednesday with there seemed to be maybe a because we're discussing the steps and we're discussing the promises, the ninth step promises that are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he started the conversation a couple Fridays ago, and then I continued the conversation last Wednesday, and there seemed to be a little bit of misunderstanding going on there. And I was just, my purpose or my goal was to put out there my history with where the steps came from and where the promises were a result of. And there seemed to be some misunderstanding with Dr. Tim's response to what I said. And then when Ron got on the line at the end of the show, and I just wanted to say that I fully concur with everything that Ron was saying. I was just adding a history, my history and my relationship with those particular ideas. And then I think he cleared it all up for me when he said his understanding of the steps and the promises is that there's an instruction set with promises the same as the Beatitudes according to the Aramaic. It's the exact same thing. It's an instruction set that comes with a set of promises as well. And so that capped it for me. So I'm in total complete concordance, or I concur with those ideas. And I just wanted to throw that out there.
Cool.
I didn't know if there needed to be any more clarification at all, because I'm just coming in on the tail end of that conversation.
Well, maybe Ron is there if he has any other thoughts to share with us. That would be cool. Or if Dr. Tim has gotten online, that would be awesome.
The only other thing that I would ask for, and if Joe or other people are on the line and want to conclude the conversation that you had yesterday, I have a young lady that I sponsor. She is 23 years old. She is pregnant with her third child. In approximately a month. And she also has MRSA, the MRSA bacteria. I think it's a super bug. She has that in her right arm. And of course, being, you know, if you have that anyway, that's pretty alarming. But if you have that and you're pregnant,
yep.
I'm thinking that is pretty, that makes the situation even worse.
But she got it as in a cup?
I'm not sure how she got it, to tell you the truth.
But I mean, is it internal to the arm, or is it like, has she got a surface sore, or do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's going on. I know
that
MRSA is like cellulitis times 10.
One of the things I'd be running for as fast as I could is the health food store to get some oregano oil. And if
okay.
it were an open wound, I'd be putting the oregano oil in some hot water and soaking it. Clean, not tap water, but some distilled water, which will tend to draw, perhaps some Epsom salts. And I'd be putting about half an ounce of water in the back of my throat, holding it there like I was going to gargle with it. I'd take a nice big full dropper of oregano oil, and I'd drop it in the back of my throat and immediately swallow. And I'd be doing that 3 or 4 times a day.
Okay.
It's just a totally natural thing that they found is effective for dealing with these super bugs. And certainly, you know, while we're on that topic, just putting the invitation out to everybody is please think twice before you take an antibiotic. You know, I talked to somebody the other day, and they were talking about these great antibiotics. It's like, there's no such thing as a great antibiotic. antibiotics kill, and certainly they can be useful, judiciously used, in the right hands to take care of an overpopulation of a particular organism in the form. That's definitely a useful thing, but when we start doing things like, you know, I forget what the numbers are, 85 or 90% of antibiotics used in the United States are used for forcing animals to grow. They're being fed to animals, and not for medicinal purposes, but it makes them cheap to raise. Now, who knows what kind of meat comes out of that formula? I don't know, but they feed them antibiotics, and they put on weight faster, so they're cheaper. They don't take as much food, and they don't take as long to grow big and fat and ready to chop up and sell to people to pretend it's food. And so, you know, before you start taking an antibiotic, think twice. And look at your nutrition, look at the status that you're in, and keep yourself healthy. The best antibiotic is a powerful, bulletproof immune system. And when we eat properly, think properly, that's what we have. So just, you know, a lot of people pop antibiotics like your candy, and they're not candy. Jeannie used to work for a pharmaceutical company, and when she got a bio package because they were closing down and sending their manufacturing to a country where it was going to be cheaper for them to do it. And when they went to shut the plant down, they found out that they couldn't sell the plant because the plant was so toxic that unless they could get another antibiotic manufacturer to buy it and manufacture antibiotics, they had to leave the plant vacant. And in order to sell the property, what they said is they had to level the building. I don't know, it was a 100,000 square foot building. It was maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years old. They had to level the building to the grassy knoll in order to sell the land because the building was so poisonous. So, you know, we've been given this hype about how great antibiotics are, and they certainly, absolutely have a place in our culture. But the thing to remember is that antibiotics don't heal, they kill. And if they're used to kill something that's growing in your body, that doesn't belong, great. But you better do some healing too, because the only reason that organism's there is if you feed them, they will come. There's something toxic that the organism is feeding on, and you need to handle that. That's called healing. Killing off the bugs, that's a different thing. And sadly, some of those bugs always survive and adapt and grow stronger and are more resistant to any kind of poison. Poisons ultimately won't do the job. So just to understand those principles and you know, do your work, that becomes key in the process.
Excellent. 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 That's what I have on my mind, and I think that that is an awesome suggestion. What are your thoughts about colloidal silver? As effective as the oregano oil, or would you just say just to stay with the oregano oil?
I personally would add both. I use colloidal silver on a regular basis, topically. I use colloidal silver internally, and I think that's it's another excellent antibiotic. And basically, it works differently than poisons. The way that silver works, you know, where basically antibiotics are poison. They poison the organism, and the organism dies. But some of them survive because the poison isn't strong enough to kill them. And of course, if you do some research, I mean, in the world of antibiotics, the researchers are saying, you know, we got to do something because by 2050, the prediction is by 2050, antibiotics will kill more people than cancer or the superbugs that result from antibiotics. And the thinking is, well, and to solve that, what we need is a stronger antibiotic. No, you don't. The problem isn't the superbugs. The problem is the antibiotics. You need to stop. You need to use them judiciously in a very limited way. Stop feeding them to animals. Silver works differently. Silver, colloidal silver. Colloidal means micro particle. You know, if you've got the right kind of colloidal silver, you could take a teaspoon and you could spread that over a football field. One molecule wide would cover a football field. Micro molecules. And what happens is the silver slides inside of the cell of the virus or the bacteria and short circuits it. So there's no antibiotic or pardon me, there's no silver-resistant bug because it doesn't kill by poison. It kills by short circuit. Nothing survives it. And so, yeah, I think colloidal silver is an excellent option. And the best one that I know of, and you can buy it on Amazon, is called Argentin 23. It's a professional grade, professional level of silver. And there are lots of different ways of making colloidal silver. You can make it yourself at home, actually. Pretty cheap. You can get online and find a device and make your own. But the particles are not as refined as Argentin 23. And so that's the one that I use that I suggest others use.
Excellent, excellent.
Cool.
Good stuff.
All right, well, it is. It's nice to have some information in those arenas so that people can make choices.
Hmm? Absolutely.
And
broaden
absolutely. The horizon with which they make their choices, for sure. And tell our friend that we'll be holding the space, that whatever that organism is holding on to and feeding off of, because, again, if you don't have a food supply, they can't live. And the superbugs, the disease organisms, live off of disease decaying cells. And so when we clean up the structure, then the cell's healthy and the organism can't live there, just doesn't have a home. So we'll hold the space that she's guided to, whatever, and that her baby is safe and secure, and she is as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Delighted. Well, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
No, it's all quiet on both fronts, and Tim was on there briefly, but then he hung up again, so... He must have clients.
Probably got a busy day going.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, then, with no waiting, if you're out there and you have a thought for us, you know, our the whole idea of recovery here is not recovery from a disease or a disorder, but to recognize that we all came in as this awesome, sweet presence of love, and to be restored to that, to recover that state of being, is the objective of this work. And, of course, that means that you start throwing out everything that is less than that love, so that the only thing left is a space where love thrives and is welcomed. So if we can support you in any way, shape, or form in understanding that process and gathering a comprehension of the tools that come out of the first century Aramaic we've developed over the years, and we're here to offer support and see if we can help refine your skills in using them. In the meantime, if we'd been on the road and Gail asked the question she did, or you know, I was in your local library, your local church, or your local university, and presented the thoughts I did about energy, about the sacredness of life. I know that when we stepped off the platform, pretty much everybody in the audience would have said, "But Michael, what about?" Or, "I just have a quick question." This is a space for those questions. And so if any of that conversation aroused any thoughts or needed refinements or deeper understandings, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the phone queue, the way we hear from you is you just push 1, and through the magic of technology, that raises a little hand in the computer control panel, and we'll get to have a conversation. And so... Push 1. What's your question? We've got about 20 minutes, so we've got time for lots of good conversations yet. And if you're in the chat room and you can't write because you're not registered, you can do a quick registration process. I think the instructions are right there, and that'll put you into a membership with Blog Talk. They will require your email address, but they treat it is pretty sacred. They take care of it well. It doesn't get shared with anybody else. And so if you do that, then you can ask your questions in the chat room. And if you don't have the ability to speak in the chat room, then you can call our phone number, which is 563-999-3581. 563-999-3581. And that will put you on the show, listening to the show with your phone. And when you have a question, if you push 1, Jeannie will open your mic. And we'll have a conversation.
We have 2 hands up.
Well, let's say hello.
We have 2.
All right. The first one is area code 336. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Joan Anderson from Greensboro.
Hi there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you.
We haven't heard your voice in a while. How can we support you?
Well, I was curious, again, if you would please tell how to use the oregano oil.
Ah, yes. Oregano oil, there's one you can buy on Amazon. It's not cheap, and it's called P23, Jeannie, is it?
Hold on, P21? I'm looking it up.
Something like that. Anyway, also GNC stores carry one that's about half the price, which is still pretty strong and pretty effective. I think a 1-ounce bottle is about $20, but it goes quite a ways, and it's very hot. I mean, the instructions on the bottle actually say put it in water and put it in your mouth. It's like, no, that is like burn city. If you just put a little bit of water in the back of your throat, you know, a tablespoon or so of water that you can just hold there like you're going to gargle with it, and then take a full dropper of the oregano oil, open your mouth wide, tip your head back like you're going to gargle, and drop the oregano oil right in the water, and then swallow, it goes down without burning your throat or your tongue. If you just put it straight in your mouth, it's pretty intense stuff. So that's the best way that Jeannie discovered how to use it, was just drop it in the back of your throat and swallow. You might want to follow it up with a little bit of water. You know, there's a tendency maybe to get a little bit of the oil back there, and it's a little bit intense, but nothing like just straight up putting it in your mouth.
And it's awesome, and I swear by it for everything. It's antifungal, yep. Antiviral, and antiseptic, so no matter what's the culprit, it will take care of it. And it's actually called, the one that we get on Amazon is by North American Herb Company, and it's Oregano P73.
73.
Okay. Great.
How often would you do that?
When I had a cough, there was one time, the way that I was introduced to it, I had a cough that lasted like eight or 9 weeks. I didn't think it was ever going to go away. And someone told me about it, and I took it within 3 days. It was gone. And I just took it every time I felt a tickle or something going on in my throat. It might be, you know, once an hour, and then sometimes I might go 3 or 4 hours before I'd have to do it again. And I'd always do it before I went to bed and first thing when I got up. And I used a full dropper full. You might want to start with like a half a dropper full. But putting it straight in the water and swallowing, and it's just, I mean, it tastes just like oregano, like on a pizza, but it's very, very hot. So, like, do it like Michael said, and that way it doesn't hit your taste buds and doesn't burn your mouth.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much.
Delighted. And you had a second hand up, Jeannie?
I do, and it is
cool.
Area code 910. You're on the air.
Hello?
910.
Hey, this is Jill.
Oh, well, hey there, young lady. We were taking your name in vain a little while ago.
Oh, were you?
I heard that you were going to call, and so I actually had just right at the beginning of the show said if you're there, put your hand up, and we go right into a conversation about your topic rather than introduction. But we're glad you're here. How can we support you?
Thank you. I was calling because last night in our Mind Shifters group, Susan was showing your DVD, The Circle of Life, and how to play it. And
right.
I wanted more information or just to hear you talk a little bit more about relationships as sacrament.
Okay. Good question. Good topic. Well, let's start out and let go of some of the religious connotation around the idea of sacrament or sacred, and recognize that, you know, if you've ever held a newborn child, you know what a sacred experience that is. And the idea initially was to recognize that human life is sacred. And, you know, the religions have made it something about to do with God. And that's accurate, because when you recognize the Creator is love, then anything that's based in love is sacred. And then there's the profane. And the profane is anything based in hostility or fear. The idea of sacred in its origins is not about religion, but it's about human life, which is sacred. And we all come into the world in that sacred state. And then we're stained by the fear and the hostility based in the minds around us, and the hostility of fear stored in our genes, and we become profane. We're you know, the truth about us as love tends to be overlaid with that hostility and fear game. You know, you look at just, you know, the way the culture, you know, you turn on the television and you look at the way the culture talks about relationship and sexuality and intimacy. I mean, it's just insane. You know, the words that people use for body parts. I mean, talk about profanity and profaning the truth of who we are. So when I realize who I am, you know, when we really tap into that sacred piece of us, then, you know, you might start to wonder, at least I'll say that I have in the past, I can remember times when, you know, I'm doing this work and realizing more and more who I really am, and then I get in a situation and, you know, that triggers some old brain cells that has language attached to it that's not very sacred, to say the least, and thoughts and ideas about myself and others that are anything but sacred. And it's like, you know, I can remember several times just stopping and taking a breath with that. And it's like, why were we ever even exposed to this insanity? Why were we profaned by this insanity? And unless one has the tools to remove that which defiles the sacredness of human life, it's cumulative from generation to generation to generation. You know, it's like if I've got a hard drive on a computer and there's a virus and I put that hard drive online, it's going to tend to get more viruses. And if I have no virus removal programs, it's going to get so loaded with viruses that it's just going to break down and quit. It's going to just totally fail. And that's what disease, death, and suffering are. The failure of this hard drive, this body-mind unit, to carry on as it was designed to carry on. So generation to generation adds their profanity to the mix. And each one based in the old generation's hostility and fear adds their own with a new twist. And it kind of gets to the point where it seems natural, it even seems necessary just to live in this crazy world, to engage in that. Now, of course, people call just because they can walk and talk, they call themselves living. But the truth is that unless that sacred active presence of love is alive in us, it's not living at all. Walking and talking in that state is really the walking dead. You know, so a lot of there are a lot of movies and a lot of television these days on, you know, the walking dead, the zombies, and that's what this human life, when it's profaned, ends up being. So we were given several sacraments. And sacraments don't have to do with church and religion. They have to do with those things that take us back to a remembrance and experience of who we are. They're devices that take us back to the sacred. And so, for instance, people going to church called that a sacred experience, and that became kind of the center of it. But it's really the whole state of community pursuing the truth of love. Actually, the word that was used originally to describe coming together in church was called liturgy. And the word liturgy means our common work. And it's each of us coming together to create or to reconnect with the sacredness of who we are as individuals and who every other individual is, no matter who they are and no matter what their outward expression. So community is a sacrament. It's something given to us to take us back to the truth of who we are. Family is a gift given to us to take us back to the truth of who we are. You know, and in the state of relationship and physical intimacy, that when we approach that rather than from the profane, but rather approach that from a state of conscious, active, present love as human beings, then this becomes a powerful sacrament, joining in that presence of love and reinforcing that love takes us back to our wholeness, and in that sense is a sacrament. And so when I talk about the idea of relationship as a sacrament, it's a gift given to us to take us back to the truth of who we are. And if we have the tools and we utilize the tools within the context of relationship, then we're going to, in our interactions, even our interactions that are based in some form of hostility or fear, because there is the intention and the goal to move toward the sacred, then even the hostility and fear-based experiences are going to become springboards to healing, to wholeness. And returning back to where, you know, we each walk as a sacred space. You know, I don't know if you've listened to the video Empowered to Heal or not, but in that one we talk about the person who walks around with all kinds of hostility or fear moving in them, and they're a walking energy field that inspires hostility, fear, and disease. When one chooses to take up the tools and make of themselves a sacred space, then they're empowered to heal. They're empowered to be the space that wherever they walk, they open that space of healing. They open the space for what needs to be processed out, and return to the truth of who we are. So that would be kind of my response to your question. And if that addresses it, great. If there are more refinements or other thoughts or questions, let's go for it.
Oh, yeah, that is exactly what I needed to hear. The idea that, you know, the hostility and fear-based experiences within a relationship, I find probably open the greatest door to healing, particularly when only when I apply the tools. It just explained, again, what you meant by relationship as a sacrament, relationship as a pathway back to love, if you choose to use it that way. It really is, it is a beautiful gift.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I needed to know.
It is totally and completely awesome. And, you know, where do we find the sacred in today's world unless we choose to create it? You know, most people have been so blasted with hostility and fear and grief and rage. I was talking to someone this morning, and they were talking about, this young man was talking about his wife and how her parents came together in total trauma, you know, got pregnant and have lived a life of misery, and his wife is carrying on with some of the same. And looking at that as, okay, so now you can introduce into the space that now we have the opportunity to heal those things. And with that space of support, we can make this an offering of our pain, our trauma, into the sacred to transmute, release, let go of that. And everybody moves to a new level of really, truly living as a human being. And if we can get that idea to critical mass on the planet rather than so much derision and, you know, just insane. insanity going on, hostility-based behavior, fear-based behavior, that, you know, especially if we could get that moving in the leadership in our schools, in our business world, in our government, would just be, you know, the difference of night and day. And yet, sadly, it seems that hostility and fear takes a hold, and most people, because they don't have the tools, they just travel a downward path and take others with them.
Well, you've said that, you know, rage is a drug, and I was just thinking it's sort of an addiction to hostility and fear. I'm so thankful to have found these tools, and I can see in myself, you know, starting to make the turn when I do get into hostility and fear that I don't automatically just think I'm right anymore and get sucked down that pathway. You know, I can turn it around more quickly, and
nice.
You know, I just I recognize it in a different way, and you know, in my relationships, all of them, the communication is so different because I'm not coming at a disagreement or a misunderstanding from the standpoint that I'm right and you're wrong. It's more of,
right.
I know that my perceptions are often not correct, so let me check this out with you, and let's go from there. And the outcomes are dramatically different.
Exactly.
And so it's
and
actually,
all it takes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So when there's a conflict, I just had a small conflict in a relationship, and you know, when it was all said and done, I was so excited that we had had that conflict because the outcome
mm-hmm.
was so great, and it really elevated our relationship in tremendous ways. So, you know, I can't wait till the next misunderstanding.
Exactly. It's a pathway to healing for sure. And opening that space to look under the surface. And all it takes is one person in the conflict. And it doesn't matter if the conflict's within two people or 10,000 people. All it takes is one person to inject the higher energy. And for everybody to look and go, oh, that's possible? Maybe we could do that and change the whole game for everybody. You know, become, as the ancient teaching saw, but become the leavening that leavens the whole loaf.
Yes.
So.
I saw that just this small little circumstance, you know, because I get a little wound up about, you know, everybody else also doing these tools. And it was a really nice example for how when I apply them, it really doesn't matter if everybody else is or not. I mean, it shifted the energy, and that's all it took.
Yay. That's it.
Yay.
You got it, young lady. Thank you for the question and the chance to refine the thoughts. That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for your answers.
Delighted. And we'll probably see you next week as we head into Wilmington.
Yep.
Fabulous.
Can't wait.
Look forward to it. All right. Blessings. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we're down to the last minute and a half or so. So I'm going to just say much appreciation for everybody who participates and who passes these teachings on. You know, when the show is over, you can go to www.whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And click on the microphone, and, you know, the archives are there. They're an MP3. You can right-click on them, save them to your computer, or just listen to them on your computer, your phone. You can also attach them to an email and send them off to somebody else. You can post them on Facebook. Lots of people are posting the show on Facebook. So, you know, go ahead and introduce your circle of friends and watch how much appreciation. Now, there'll be some people who might not be happy with you at first because they'd rather play the old hostility and fear game. But sooner or later, most people make the turn and go, I could have been loving here instead of this. Well, let's see what we can do with that. So much appreciation for your participation. Pass it on. If you care to support this work, go to our website. There's a donate button. In the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Bye-bye.
I choose to live more consciously.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic Internal Process of Forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.